Because I think sometimes in Christianity, we do things out of tradition or out of reflex or just because everybody else has been doing it that way, and we don't know why. See, at this time, at this hour, at this stage of man's existence, at this close hour to his coming, the church needs to know why we do everything. Oh, that was weak this morning. Let me try it again. See, the church... Now, Pastor, please, we don't want to know why. Just tell us what to do. We like it better that way. But we have got to know why, because you're his hands and you're his feet, and you'll touch people that'll never listen to me. Amen. You'll reach people that'll never come here. We need to know the whys of Christianity, because when we understand the root of anything, it's easier for us when he says, stop doing this and do this, to say, yes, Lord, amen. Tradition can be a powerful thing, but I want to talk to you about dedicating our children to the Lord. So important, as I spent time in prayer, spent time at the feet of God, just trying to understand exactly what happens here as we dedicate children to the Lord. The Lord showed me many things, and I want to share them with you this morning. Dedicating our children to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that, God, we have your word. Father, that we don't have to go by instinct or the opinions of men, but Father, we can stand firmly on the truth of your word. God, this morning, everything that's said here, let it be foundation built on your word. God, burn these principles in our hearts so that we'll understand the truth of what it means to dedicate our children to the Lord. You see, I believe to understand the implications of dedicating a baby, an infant to the Lord, we have to understand the truth about what children are. What is a child? Contrary to popular belief and some bumper stickers I've seen, a child is not a choice. Did you get that this morning? A child is something that comes from the Lord, a gift, a blessing, a responsibility. And this morning, we're going to dig in a little bit about what the scriptures say about children. Number one, the scripture says this: a child is God's gift to your home. A child is God's gift to your home. Now, I know when they wake up at 6 in the morning screaming and saying, I want Cheerios, it doesn't seem like a gift. I've never had to set an alarm clock since either of my sons were born. Austin's going to be a farmer, I think. He gets up before the rooster does. But they are a gift to the home. I remember we were married for 8 years before we decided it's time. And I wish we would have started earlier, because I'm running out of energy here and I want to have a few more. But a child is a gift. Radically changed our home. You can tell people who don't have kids, when you have a kid, when that kid hits the ground, everything changes. And they're just going to look at you like... they don't believe you, but when that baby hits the ground, everything changes. You can't go to the bathroom when you want. You can't watch the show that you want. You can't do the things you want to do. You want to read. You want quiet time. Ha! You better get up while it's still dark if you want some quiet. Everything changes when the child hits the ground, but it's a gift through and through in every way. Psalm 127:3 says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. Understand what your children are this morning. They're a gift to your home. They're a reward from God. They're a blessing to you. Children are a gift to your home. Number two, the word teaches us that children are the handiwork of God. If you're taking notes this morning, write that down. Children are the handiwork of God. You're going to need to remember that sometime as you're raising them, because they might seem like they're somebody else's handiwork. That's all I'm going to say about that. A Christian must realize this, that their child belongs first to God. Hear me, if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, realize your child belongs first to God. You get to write them off on your taxes, but they belong to Jesus this morning. 1 Samuel 1:27 and 28, for this child I prayed, Hannah said, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I have asked to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth, and he shall be lent to the Lord and worship the Lord there. Hannah had the right attitude. She was close to being perfect. She decided that in a mom's heart, she was going to lend the child to the Lord. Now, moms, I understand it's hard. We talked about cutting the string. We talked about the umbilical cord. And I understand that it's hard to let go. But she lent her child to the Lord. Really, in all actuality, that child belongs to God. The child belongs to God. Hannah prayed. She asked for a son. She said, if you give me a son, Lord, I'll dedicate him to the Lord. And she gave him the vow of the Nazarite. And he had no razor touch his head. He drank no fruit of the vine. He was dedicated as a priest unto the Lord. A mighty priest in the nation of Israel, Samuel, ministered to Saul and to David, started with a mother that had a vision and realized that the child belonged to the Lord. Children are the handiwork of God. Isaiah talks about the fact that we're knit together in our mother's wombs. You're not a genetic accident. You're not the result of a big bang. You were not born, decided by the will of man, oh, well, let's have a baby, let's have kids. You were given to your parents by God as a gift. The handiwork of God. Knit together in your mother's womb. Fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what a child is. A child, number three, is an awesome responsibility. Someone say amen. I see the way children are born and brought into this world, and it breaks my heart as a pastor. They make you get a permit to drive a car, but any fool can have a baby. They make you get a permit to do all kinds of things, but anybody who wants to procreate can bring a child into the world. That just doesn't sit right with me, because I see so many children brought into the world, and yes, it's by God's design, it's God's handiwork, but parents don't recognize the responsibility. And they flippantly just make babies. Those babies are a gift from God, and they are a divine responsibility. Every parent will be held accountable for that child. Deadbeat dads will stand before God one day, and the Father of Heaven will judge them. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. We should be sober. Children are an awesome responsibility. They belong to God, but listen, we have a responsibility to provide for them. We have a responsibility. Well, God, this is your child. You know, they belong to you. And so, God, you discipline them. You take care of them. You figure it out, God. You know, I'm going on vacation. No. They're an awesome responsibility. There was an earthquake that frightened the inhabitants of a small town out west. And one of the couples was so frightened, they sent their little boy to stay with an uncle in another state. They explained that there was an earthquake and they needed to get the child out of the area, and they sent the boy on the train. A couple of days later, the parents received the following telegram from the uncle. I am returning the boy to you. Please send me the earthquake next time instead. They're an awesome responsibility. You say, will children shake your home? Oh, yes, they will. Will they shake your life? Oh, yes, they will. Will they shake you to the brink of insanity at moments? Oh, yes, they will. I've been at the edge. It's not pretty. They're an awesome responsibility. First Timothy says that we must provide for them. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Woo, that'll preach Sunday morning. Come on, Pastor, lighten up. It's baby dedication. We're supposed to have a good time. I only know how to preach one way. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We must provide for them. We must serve them. You say, provide what? Provide an environment where they can grow to know the Lord. Provide time for them. Some of you, you know, just because you live at home together and you didn't get divorced, you think that's all we have to do. No, you actually need to spend time with those children. They need you. They need you to listen. They need you to speak. They need you to nurture them. They need you to do goofy things like go to baseball games and watch them hit the ball off the tee and run to third. That's spiritual. That's important. They need us to provide for them. A child is an awesome responsibility. A child also requires training. Who trains a child? It's a joint effort, and we're going to see that this morning. That's why I can talk to the whole congregation. Each one of us have a part in each child that comes up here. Each one of us have a part, because to train a child, it's a joint effort. And everyone in here has a part. You say, well, how? We're gonna dig into this later on. But, you know, they're going to see you in the house of God. And they're going to watch the way you serve God. And that's going to imprint an impression on their souls. It's a joint effort. Have you ever heard parents say, I can't seem to train my children to do anything? Maybe you've said that yourself. You know what? If you've been to SeaWorld, you know this. They trained a dolphin how to play basketball. You can train your kids too. You say, how do you get a dolphin to play basketball? Think about this. There's no punchline. You guys are waiting for the punchline. They trained a dolphin to play basketball. How do you go about training a dolphin to play basketball? Well, you need to understand some things about the dolphin, and you need to get a strategy, and you need to get a plan, and somebody took the time to do it. Did you hear that? They took time to figure out how to train a fish to play basketball. My God, we could take the time to teach our children how to serve the Lord, how to make their beds. Moms are going to get excited all over the sanctuary. How to take care of themselves, how to be responsible. You can train a child to do anything you're willing to put the time into. We've got to get that this morning. We've let our kids be raised by the TV, and we've let our kids be raised by what's on the television programs and society and the billboards, because we're all too busy trying to make money and we're losing our families. A child requires training. God expects us to put the time in to train them. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from him. That's a promise from the Lord. Pour into training, and when they're old, there's times where it'll look like they'll depart from it. There's times where it looks like they're not going to make it. But the Word says that if we train them up in the way they should go when they're old, they will not depart from it. Proverbs 23:13, withhold no correction from the child. Now, I know Dr. Spock doesn't agree with that, but he could take that up with God. Listen to me. The proverb says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. He might tell you he's going to die, but he won't die. You say, what's the rod? The rod is not just an implement of paddling, amen? It's a standard. What does that mean? It means be consistent with your children. Have a standard for them. There's not enough amens in here this morning. Just humor me. If you think I'm wrong, you can come to me later and talk to me. But we need standards in our homes. We need standards in our schools. We need standards in the house of God. For too long, it's been anything goes, and we've got an anything goes generation. That's why our schools are like shooting galleries, and they're filled with drugs and guns and murder and hatred, because we've thrown the standards out and we've took the Word of God and said, this doesn't apply anymore. And now we have shooting galleries in our schools. The Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go. Withhold not correction. Oh, I just can't stand to correct them. It makes me cry. Well, then cry away. You're better off crying now than when you pick them up at the county jail. You save money on lawyers too. Train up a child. Who trains a child? We are responsible for it. God himself is committed to training them. Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Speaking of Jesus. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obeyed him. God even allowed things to bring Jesus' flesh into submission. Think about that. The Word says, he who spared not his own son, but he allowed Jesus' flesh to be brought into submission. And what did it take? It took the cross to break the back of sin. Yet God the Father was willing to put his son through that because he loved us. We must train our children. We must not refuse the responsibility. We must not say, I can't bear to do it. That is weakness, and it makes weak children that don't serve the Lord, but serve their flesh. There's something in all of us that needs to be broken, that needs to be crucified. And it comes from parents and churches who will train and speak the word of God into children so that when they're old, they will not depart from the truth of serving God. With the biblical portrait of what a child is fresh in our minds, let's talk about the relevancy of baby dedication today. It's very relevant what we do here, but we need to understand the why. In fact, I want you to say that with me. Say why. It's important that we know. First, let's define what baby dedication is not. I like to do this first. Let's get all the misconceptions out of the way. First, baby dedication is not membership into the church. It's not membership. Well, you know, when I was an infant, they dedicated me, so I'm a Christian. No. That's not how it works. Baby dedication is not, you know, well, now you're a member of the church and you're signed in and your soul's all squared away and, you know, just live how you want and you'll be with Jesus when you go. It's not membership into the church. Number two, baby dedication is not salvation for a child. This is not salvation this morning. We can't sprinkle anything on them, throw anything on them, dress them in anything, say any magic words to make them saved. The Bible teaches that that comes when we get to the place where we can understand what Jesus did on the cross and choose to receive him or reject him with our lives. A baby can't do that. You could tell a baby Jesus died for you and they'll say, yeah. You could preach to them real good, use illustrations, a couple stories, a few jokes, and they're not going to get it. It's not salvation this morning. That comes at a different point. The truth is, it's not really as much about the children this morning as it is about us. If we were correct, we would call this sermon parent dedication. But less of you would come. So we call it baby dedication. So what's the relevancy of dedicating babies? Number one, it mirrors the biblical Jewish practice of presentation. You say, is this in the scripture? The Jews presented their children in the temple. That's what the Old Testament taught. You say, for the Christian, we mirror the truth of that biblical doctrine. We didn't make this up. But it's a form of presenting your child to the Lord, acknowledging the fact that my child belongs to God. It mirrors the Jewish tradition of presentation. Even Jesus was presented in the temple. And so we should present our children in the temple of God. It mirrors that tradition. It establishes a foundation of attendance in the house of God. This is important. Some of you have been going to church since you were a fetus. And that's good. I was here in my mom's womb, you know, and you've always been in the house of God. And that establishes something in a child. We need to start off today with these infants, bringing them to the house of the Lord. Well, you say, Pastor, they don't get anything out of it. And we could use the sleep on Sunday morning. They do get something out of it. They are soaking in the presence of God, and it's affecting their little hearts. It's touching their souls. You think that child's jumping up and down during worship because they ate Cheerios with sugar for breakfast? Well, maybe. But they can respond to the presence of God. My Bible says that John the Baptist leapt in his mother Elizabeth's womb. When he heard about Jesus, when he got in proximity to Christ, he left because God can touch that little child. And we need to bring them into the presence of God and establish attendance in God's house as a foundational theme in their lives. It mirrors presentation. It establishes a foundation. And lastly, it's a public declaration of intent. It says, as all parents stand up here, that we intend to raise our children to serve the Lord. That's important. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The scripture says, there's something about the decision of your will. There's something about a memorial. You're going to come up here at some point, and you're going to stand on these little X's with your name on it. You say, what's the significance of that? This is your altar this morning. This is a spot you can look back to and say, I purposed there, I intended there, I made a decision before God and cut covenant that I would raise my child to serve the Lord, to know Jesus Christ, to be in the house of God. In the Old Testament, whenever they made an altar, they piled up and heaped stones so they could always look back to it as a memorial. Some of you, as you come here, over the years with your children, you might want to look back to these spots on the floor where you stood and said, I dedicated this child to the Lord. He belongs to Jesus Christ. There'll be times where the enemy will challenge that. There'll be times when the devil himself says, no, that child's mine. And you can look back to a memorial and say, I declared, I purposed and set my will that the child would serve the Lord. It's important this morning. Why do we call it baby dedication? I believe we call it that because this, we want to call attention to the dedication it takes to raise godly children. It's dedication today because it will take dedication to raise children in this generation who know the Lord. I believe we're all here today to pledge our dedication. We're going to look at the three levels of dedication being pledged, and if we will all do our part, these children will have a blessed experience in the house of God. But let me tell you something. If none of us do our part this morning, God is still their God, and He's well able. This is mostly for us this morning. It's not a tune-up for God. It's not for the infants. It's for the parents and the believers and the families this morning. To raise your children to serve the Lord, it will take dedication in three levels. Number one, it will take personal dedication. Write that down this morning. You're going to need personal dedication. And there's a reason that personal dedication is at the top of the list. Because dedication of a child hinges on leadership. And the only way to lead this morning is by example. Did you hear that? What you pour into your children will come as the result of your leadership. And the only way to lead is by example. Too many folks have tried to lead in principle, or tried to lead by opinion, or tried to lead in every way but by example. And let me tell you, it does not work unless you're walking what you're preaching, amen? If you can talk the talk and walk the walk, you'll impact a child. But if you can only talk the talk, the hypocrisy will taint that child's heart and say, this Christianity thing is a farce. Personal dedication is the only way to lead. To lead by example. Do as I say and not as I do is a philosophy that doesn't work. Can someone say amen? Do as I say, but not as it. Wouldn't that be nice if it did work? Because sometimes it's hard to do the right things. There'll be times where you blow it right in front of your kids. You know what most people do? They get proud and they get arrogant. Well, I'm the parent, and they puff themselves up, and you just listen to what I say, I know better. And what we should do is repent in front of them. We should say, you know what? Mom messed up. You know what? Dad messed up, and I was wrong. And you should take their hand and pray for forgiveness from the Lord and from them, and then start over with a clean slate. It's the only way to lead. It's by example. Do as I say and not as I do. Only builds hypocrisy. If you want your children to honor the Lord, you honor Him. If you want your children to know the Lord, let your life show that you know Him. If you want your children to hear from the Lord, speak into their lives every word you've heard from Him. We've got to do this by example. We've got to live the example in front of them. You say, is that easy? No, it's not easy. But with God, it's not impossible. Even when you mess up, you need to repent. God will give you grace. There are no perfect parents. But we have a perfect God. It takes a dedicated man and a dedicated woman to raise a dedicated child. I want to talk a little bit about the family this morning. You might be here as a single mom. You might be from a family that's not intact. This is in no way to bring hurt or condemnation, but what I'm telling you is the biblical principle here. You say, well, if the family's broken, can we still raise godly children? Yes. The Bible says that God is a father to the fatherless. Amen. And when that one parent is absent for whatever reason, whosever fault it was, God will pick up the slack, and the house of God needs to pick up the slack. But it takes a dedicated man and woman to raise dedicated children. It's not two homosexuals playing house. That's not a family. That's not how you raise a child. I don't care if it's politically incorrect or not. You can debate it in hell for eternity, but the Word of God says it's true. You see, a dedicated man will love his wife and serve his family. Hear me this morning, men. Society has taught us to be selfish. Selfish with our time, selfish with our money, selfish with our intimacy, and selfish men produce weak families. A man of God will love his wife. A man of God will serve his family. Ephesians 5:2 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus died for the church. Men, we will have to die to nurture our families. We will have to lay our lives down to love our wives. The world has taught a gospel of, you know what? Marriage is nothing. You just throw it off like an old pair of socks. If it don't work, pick a new partner, do-si-do. It's not a square dance. It's not a pick and choose. It's not, you know, the third time's a charm. It's I do and forever, amen? A dedicated man will love his wife, he'll lay his life down, and he'll serve his family. And it will take that to raise children who love the Lord. A dedicated woman will submit to her husband and serve her family. Oh, the ladies are quiet now. Come on, ladies. I said a dedicated woman will submit to her husband and love her family. Now, the ladies were excited when we were talking about the men. Maybe the men should shout now. Help me out, guys. Ephesians 5:22 and 23. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. All right, don't clap too loud now. You still got a lover. You see, these two things work together. Or they don't work at all. Well, he doesn't lay his life down for me, so I'm not submitting him to him. And you dig a trench. And well, she doesn't serve me, and she never listens to a thing I say. Look at the credit card bill, and you dig a trench. And then we have the great divide, and guess who's trapped in the middle? The kids. Why did God give us this? Because he was trying to really just, you know, bust our chops? No, because he knows it's the only method that works. And until we love one another and submit to one another and serve one another, our homes will be a mess. Personal dedication. It takes a dedicated man and a dedicated woman to raise children who serve the Lord. Number two, it takes personal dedication. And number two, it takes household dedication. Say that with me. Household dedication. You see, a godly home is the only atmosphere that produces godly children. Did you get that this morning? A godly home is the only atmosphere that produces godly children. You mean, Pastor, I thought we just needed to bring them to church on Sunday and that would solve everything. No, it takes a godly home. Because no matter what we do in the few hours on Sunday that we have them, you can undo it at home if you try. Oh, it's quiet this morning. I'm getting used to it. We talk about atmospheres this morning. An atmosphere in your home is what shapes the environment of your home. Think about the atmosphere. You know the only reason we can live and function is because there's an atmosphere on the earth. Were you aware of this? Anybody go to science class that day? There's an atmosphere. It allows us to breathe, and I found that to be helpful for living. The atmosphere shapes the environment, and everything under the environment is affected by the atmosphere. If you poison the atmosphere, everything under it is affected. The environment of our homes The atmosphere of our homes affect everything that lives in our homes. Think about that. Poison the environment of your home, poison the atmosphere of your home, and will affect everything that lives in your home. If our homes are filled with sin, filled with compromise, filled with cursing, filled with neglect, filled with dysfunction, filled with disorder, that's exactly what we put into our children. You know, you can put chemicals in the water, and those chemicals will show up in the fish that hit your table. We dump mercury in our waters, and now we have mercury in our salmon because the atmosphere was polluted. Today, in every area where we have pollution in the atmosphere of our homes, we must dedicate it to the Lord. It's so important. It's so important. You say, preacher, this is hard. I know it's hard. I have kids in a home, and I know the strains and the struggles, and I'm not a perfect man. But the Word of God gives us wisdom on how to keep our homes in an environment that will be conducive to our children responding to the presence of God. Make your home a temple for the Holy Spirit. Make your home a temple. Let it be filled with worship. Let it be filled with the presence of God. Let it be filled with harmony. Make your home a temple. Make your home a classroom of the faith. Listen to me. It's not for the church to train your children. One week, amen. Amen. Well, that's your job. That's why. No, we only have them for a few hours. If you won't train them at home, we'll never get enough into them. And by the time they get to college, those secular universities will chew them up and spit them out. Listen to me this morning. You can train that child and pour the Word of God in many, many times more than the church can. All we need to do here, all God holds us accountable for, is to reinforce what you do at home. Make your home a classroom of Christianity. Live it in front of them and pour it into them. Read the Scripture. Read devotionals together. Teach them to develop habits that will keep them before the Lord. Listen to me. Number three, make your home a haven of love and intimacy. We've lost this morning. Our homes are no longer a haven. We don't eat meals together. We don't sit down together. We don't play games together. Everybody goes in a different direction. You say, well, you know, that's just life in our set. No, it's not just life in the way it is. It's the design of the enemy. Because we need to sit down and break bread together. We need to sit down and talk to one another. Make your home a haven for your children. You say, what's a haven? A place where they can come and find shelter. Do you know why we have so many gangs? Do you know why we have so many clubs? Do you know why we have so many sports? Because kids need to find covering and protection in something, and they're not getting it at home, so they get it in a gang. They get it in a club. They get it in a sport. And God says, you, man of God, you, woman of God, make your home a haven of love and intimacy where your children can be safe and they can be listened to and you can speak into them. A home where they want to be. Not where they just sleep. Pray continually for God's help in building a home where God's will is obeyed, God's word is loved, and God's day is honored. We need households dedicated to the Lord. Amen. Number three, and I close with this. We need personal dedication, household dedication. And number three, we need the dedication of our church family. This is where all of us do our part. And all of us have a part to do. Amen. This is the area where all of us become accountable for the children in this house. It's been said before that it takes a village to raise a child. Have you ever heard that? And that statement is partially true. You see, how does that dynamic work? It works that every time you live in front of a child, whether it's your own child, the kid down the street, the kid in the church, you're imprinting something on their soul about how you serve the Lord. Those of you who call yourself Christians, every time that child is in your presence, you're imprinting their soul. The Bible says a little something about a millstone tied around the neck of anyone who makes one of these little ones stumble. I don't know about you, but my plans for eternity didn't include a millstone. I want to live in such a way that I provoke everyone around me to love Jesus. Our homes must be dedicated to the Lord. The house of God, the church family, must pour into children. How does this a principle, how does it apply to the church? How does it work? It works in two areas. Number one, our testimonies, and number two, our service. The way we live, our testimony will impact all the children around us. The way we serve God in the house of God will impact all the children around us. Our testimonies, our lives in many ways are an open book for all the little eyes around us. Watch what you teach them by your actions. So important. Our testimonies. Are we consistent? Do sometimes we obey the word of God and sometimes we obey the flesh? Do we sometimes serve Jesus and other times we are in sin? I'm talking about us as parents. Are there inconsistencies? Do we promote and encourage things that are not of God? If we do, our children see it. Our testimonies affect children. The church must dedicate itself to maintaining its testimony before the Lord. Our service is something that will shape our children. If we refuse to do our part in the programs of the church will be handicapped in impacting the lives of children. Did you hear that? You got to get that. If we refuse to do our part, this is where the body gets involved. You see, there's some empty seats around you this morning. Do you know why that is? Well, I'll tell you. Because there's teachers in the back with your children. Ah, stunning revelation. They're not here. They wanted to hear the word too. They wanted to get the preaching too. They wanted to be in the service too, but they decided that it was more important for them to serve your children in the back. And you see, if they didn't do their part, if they refuse to do their part, the body of Christ is handicapped in pouring in the gospel into these children. My kids are getting the gospel back there. They come home, my son's quoting scriptures, he's singing songs. I didn't teach him that. Where'd he get that? He got that back there because people are dedicated and they'll serve. And you folks who serve in here, your role is very, very important. Without you, the church cannot be the church. And all of us need to do our part. All of us need to do our part in the house of God to impact the lives of these children. When we refuse to do our part, the church becomes handicapped and dysfunctional. And our impact is dulled. It takes a dedicated church family to raise dedicated children. And we have a dedicated house here. And I'm thankful for that this morning. But I also believe God would get more of us involved because some of you have gifts that this house needs. Some of you could teach children creative. You could tell stories. You could work with the youth. You can be involved in things. Every part, when everything is functioning together properly, then the church gets a synergy in it where everything clicks all together and the presence and the anointing of God impacts children. It impacts adults. It impacts the house of God. The church family must be dedicated and do its part to raise godly children. So important this morning. We need personal dedication, household dedication, and church dedication. You say, if we get all three of those, are we in good shape? Yeah, we're in good shape. But I want to close with this. One day, a group of scientists got together and decided that man had come such a long, long way that he no longer needed God. They picked one scientist to go tell God what they had decided. The scientist walked up to God and said, God, we've decided that we no longer need you. You see, we're at the point where we can clone people, we can heal diseases, we can genetically engineer better people, we can do so many miraculous things that, God, we've decided we don't need you anymore. God listened patiently and kindly to the man. And then after that, he said to the scientist this, very well, how about this? Let's have a man-making contest to see if you still need me. And the scientist in his arrogance said, sure, great, love to. God added, now we're going to do it the old-fashioned way, just like I made Adam. The scientist said, sure, no problem. And he bent down and picked up a handful of dirt. And God chuckled and said, oh, no, no, no. Get your own dirt. You see, we need him this morning. You say, why you tell that story, Pastor?
Because if we personally dedicate ourselves, if we dedicate our household, even if our church is dedicated, realize this. Without God, we can never raise godly children. There's dedicated parents that don't know the Lord. There's dedicated people that don't know the Lord. There's people in church that don't know the Lord. Praise God. It's the Lord that we need to put in our kids. It's God. We need Him. We need Him in every facet, in every area. We need Him to come and invade us, to change us, to give us the power to live lives that our children can mirror and model as we follow Christ. Never forget. To raise godly children, we need God. It should be the cry of our heart. It should be the cry of every parent's heart. Oh, what a special occasion is to hold your first child. What a miracle. What an incredible gift. And what a sobering thought that I'm responsible before God for this tiny soul. We need Him this morning. Let's prepare to dedicate our children to the Lord this morning.